Rachel Venables has been following events at the Grenfell inquiry today. The hearing has begun again, or the hearing of evidence has begun again after that four-week break over the summer, if you were wondering why the conversation had moved away. What's going on, Rachel?
Well, this morning, James, they're back after a four-week break, and it started with an hour and a half of a short procedural hearing. So we had comments and questions for the first time in quite a while from the lawyers of survivors, bereaved families, the likes of the London Fire Brigade, and interested politicians and departments. These are all known as the core participants. So their lawyers, their counsel stood up today, and it was a chance, a bit of a reset, really, and a chance for them to make comments, critiques and recommendations and speak directly to Sir Martin Moore-Bick about how they think the inquiry is going so far and what they want from the coming months and, you know, possibly even years. Phase two certainly could take quite a while. Now, they covered a huge range of topics this morning. I listened to it all and I'm bringing you, I think, some of the key points. They started even with small elements, so things like the venue of the inquiry itself. Danny Friedman QC, he represents dozens of survivors, and he wants the venue of the inquiry to be moved back to somewhere in West London, so in Kensington, when the survivors start giving evidence later in the autumn.
But we do want to return to the Millennium Gloucester Hotel or a similar venue for the short period of time when the survivors and other family witnesses give their evidence. There was a great deal to value in being in a space that was formal and focused and yet not confined, and that will be the problem here.
Now, the comments also included the questioning itself. So we've been talking a lot about what the firefighters were asked to discuss. They've obviously been going through the night of the fire itself, and then also the training and the experience they had beforehand. But the lawyers want it, and the survivors, the people they represent, want that widened even further.
We would want the witnesses to be asked about their knowledge of any deficiencies in policy, training and equipment before the fire. So as of 13th of June.
And as far as questioning goes, Leslie Thomas QC then stood up and he asked for the lawyers of core participants, so the men and women who you're hearing for now, to be able to question the witnesses themselves.
There have been several public inquiries, Basamusa, Al Suwaidi, Litvinenko, Azul Rodney, Anthony Granger. All of these public inquiries allowed the lawyers for the core participants to ask some questions. We invite you to exercise your discretion to permit us to ask questions and not simply allowing this through your counsel. Why must they be restricted to inviting counsel to the inquiry to ask their questions in the hope that that invitation will be accepted? Why must they be made to feel like bystanders to an investigation of their own tragedy?
Bystanders to an investigation of their own tragedy. I thought that was particularly poignant, and it just gives you a sense, I think, of the way the lawyers are trying still to get more involved in the inquiry, to steer it more. And while Richard Millick, you see at the start, he's the counsel for the inquiry, talked about being measured, taking it slow, taking the time. Phase one, first of all, which is looking at the night of the fire and then looking at wider issues. Clearly, the survivors, the bereaved, don't agree. They want this to move much quicker. And they also want, really importantly, interim recommendations. Those two words came up over and over again. And that essentially means that what they want is Sir Martin Moore-Bick to make recommendations on policy to make buildings safer. So whenever a flaw, a gaping error, you know, a loophole or a dangerous practice is found in the evidence, they want him to speak out. They want him to write to the government, to the fire service, to whoever it matters, and bring in policy changes on, for example, things like cladding.
There needs to be direct, real, immediate change to the building industry, to the construction industry, and to the regulatory system that chooses these materials. Now, we cannot necessarily take all cladding off all buildings, but we can stop it by having a moratorium on the use of such materials on buildings.
And on stay-put policies.
Now, this situation cannot pertain for a day longer, whereby there is confusion over when it should be abandoned, the policy itself, and what evacuation contingency plans have been drawn up.
So while Sir Martin Moore-Bick indicates he wants more evidence, he wants more time, they want him to make changes now. And interestingly, after all of this, we heard from the lawyer representing the Home Secretary, Sajid Javid, and he actually indicated that the Home Secretary would be prepared to listen and make changes when and if Sir Martin makes these recommendations.
The Home Secretary has listened to the harrowing evidence to date relating to the night of the fire. He would fully support the prospect of you, sir, indicating as soon as possible whether there are any issues which you consider present real dangers to the public and which you believe can appropriately be addressed by way of interim recommendation. And of course, the Home Office will give any such recommendations urgent consideration at the highest level.
Rachel Venables, many thanks as always. How feasible is that one? Because I thought the interim recommendations was perhaps the most arresting element of your report. How feasible is that? Do we know?
Well, certainly Sir Martin will take what they've said, go away and look at it. But I think from everything we've seen so far in the inquiry, he takes his time. He doesn't do anything lightly. And certainly, again, even from what Richard Millett was indicating, is they want more time, more evidence. And they haven't in depth heard any evidence of anything that you might want him to give recommendations on. You know, it's almost like he's going to need more reports, weeks of evidence on any one topic before he moves as to make a recommendation.
It's a tough one,
isn't it? But the families and the survivors want action. They want to say, well, why hasn't this been banned? Why hasn't this been changed, you know, well over a year later?
And God forbid if anything else awful were to occur that could perhaps have been prevented by interim recommendations, then things will take on a well, even more urgency and pertinence. Rachel Venables, many thanks.